There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
Thank you to our subscribers and members of our listening audience.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Desiree is on her way back from Monaco. This is podcast number 277, May 25th, 2008. Steven?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by Yahoo Ads. Yahoo Ads, you, the F1Weekly.com web server, the ads that interest you. From swag to smokes, Yahoo Ads get you the stuff you really want. Click on them.
Okay there, Stephen. He has now simply just butchered Yahoo Ads, but we thank him anyway. Well, there we are in Monaco. A beautiful day on qualifying. If we could talk about that briefly.
Briefly.
Because it was a bit of a surprise, because we know that McLaren dominates Monaco. I think they've had 14 wins to Ferrari's 5 in the history of the Monaco Grand Prix.
Yes, definitely. They've definitely done well here in the Principality on the coast of France. So, yeah, we expect them to do quite well.
But once qualifying started, the Ferraris definitely showed some pace. I think the shorter wheelbase is working.
Exactly.
The traction out of the corners is working well. And basically the package is just outrageously good.
Yeah, just exceptionally good. They're back to the vented nose this weekend. The shorter wheelbase definitely has given them some improvement here in Monaco, where it really seemed to hamper them last year. So they're looking extremely strong going into quali.
Absolutely. And the people that I'm looking at, after, you know, in Q1 is Piquet. Is he going to make it out of Q1?
Yeah, is he going to make
because,
it?
Because, you know, Flavio, you know, this is it. You need to start impressing.
Yeah, you got to start stepping up. I figure he's got a couple more races before he's really got to put some form down. But not doing it this weekend.
No, and I thought the Red Bull Renaults were looking quite well this
Red Bull Renaults were extremely fast, unusually fast this weekend, especially in Q2.
They both get out of Q1.
Yep.
And even David Coulthard looked pretty good.
He actually looked unusually solid this weekend.
And sure enough...
Let's throw out the first five in... the usual suspects of the two Force India Ferraris are out, and the two STRs are out for probably the first time in a while. And then Nelson Piquet.
Nelson Piquet is out in first Q, and
it wasn't really even close.
It wasn't even close. No, and I think Flavio has got some decision making to do. And I heard that the classified ads have already been posted.
The job postings at jobs.com.
Exactly. So, I don't know. It's nice to have those names out there, the Piquets and the Rosbergs, but at least Nico performs.
Yeah, and Nico has been performing. He does very well this weekend in qualifying.
But as you said...
Yeah, we would expect more out of Nelson, you know. But they brought up an interesting point at the beginning of the race. It's like, you know, we're ready to throw this guy out after five races when you've got guys like, you know, Button, who it took him 125 races before he finally won one.
Yeah, but this is the new Formula One. That was a few years ago.
Exactly.
Where you could just languish and hang out.
In a second-rate team.
Like a country club.
Exactly. And be performed by your teammate. But I think, actually, for Nelson, you know, the thing that really hurts him is the fact that his teammate is Fernando Alonso. Because he just cannot maintain that kind of pace.
Yeah, and don't forget, Jenson Button was at Renault and briefly, and they fired him.
Exactly.
So because
Flavio's not one to wait around for somebody
to
season.
No, he has no patience.
And I can understand. He's in a position where, you know, his bosses aren't very patient.
Exactly.
So.
Not only that, but the fans, people like me, we have very, very low tolerance for this kind of behavior, which we call non-performing.
Non-performance.
So there you have it. Q2, Fernando Alonso is the first guy out. He says, you know what? Let's get some time in here.
Yeah, let's get some times down. Let's
I think he's still sorting out the car.
I think he's also trying to find a good line and also trying to maybe play with it a little bit to see where it's at, because I think a lot of teams are going with a mixed setup going into quali because of the forecast of rain on
Sunday.
Yeah,
there's the forecast
of rain. So they're kind of playing with a wet-dry setup so that they can perform in both conditions.
Well, the compromise here is a wet setup is always a higher car, but the cars are higher for Monaco in the first place.
Yeah.
So you have that out of the way. So really, it's how the car is sprung, and obviously tire choices are going to be crucial.
And a little bit of how the downforce
Absolutely.
Is set up. Because when it gets wet, you want to get as much down on the track as you can.
And at the beginning of Q2, there was an announcement of that Rubens Barrichello and Giancarlo Fisichella were being investigated for some kind of...
some incident during the first closing. Yeah. I'm like, and your reason for bothering with this?
And that's the problem. Nobody's even paying attention to Rubens Barrichello and Fisichella.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I didn't catch any issues.
And Rubinho, Giancarlo isn't even within shouting distance of making it into Q2. And Barrichello was the 15th call. was he the fifth? He was up pretty far. He wasn't that close to the cut line. But still, it's like, okay, yeah, what?
Now, Nico Rosberg shines in Q2. He's really doing outstanding. He was up at P1.
Yeah, he's having a really good weekend. The car was really performing well for him. Just a good weekend for Williams as a whole, really, because Nakajima,
exactly.
Once we get to the race, actually has a really good race. He doesn't qualify exceptionally well, but he does have a good race.
But
a good weekend for Williams. Nose manufacturers are making a pretty penny this weekend.
Well, it's not only plastic surgery in Monaco, it's also car noses.
Car noses, too.
Yes, so... went through a lot during this race.
Very interesting. We get through Q2 and get down to the last minute, and all of a sudden, David Coulthard kisses the wall coming out of the tunnel.
And he smacks it good.
Oh, he smacks it good. Basically, looks like he loses the back end and slips, slides, and just bang. Just
and goes down a runoff area, but he's got so much speed that he hits that barrier.
Yeah. The interesting part about that was they're padded the track, and there's just tire against the wall.
Yeah, and nobody knows whose tire. And I love how they start guessing. Is that Heikki Kovalainen's tire?
They were guessing on the shininess of the rim.
Yes, exactly.
Like, okay, and then eventually they finally got around to find. They finally got the replay for who it actually was. And the interesting thing is that he'd gotten out of Q2. He was
P10.
Yeah, so he was
so
actually
he crashes it. But still makes it into Q3.
Yes, but does not get a chance to run. Also out in Q2 are Timo Glock, Jenson Button, Nick Heidfeld. Kind of odd. Actually, they were saying it's the first time in some very large number of races that he hasn't qualified in the top 10. And then Kazuki Nakajima and Rubens Barrichello.
Now, and I'm telling you right now, we call it the Kubica pressure cooker. Over at the Heidfeld household.
Yeah, he's really starting to... It seems that he's kind of folded. It almost like he didn't have the same car this weekend. You know, and he wasn't putting down anywhere near the kind of times. I don't recall him whether or not this is a track he enjoys or has performed well at in the past, but he's obviously, you know, scored a top 10 quality because his streak was 25 or something like that. So, rough weekend for Nick. On to Q3.
Q3 was good.
Yeah, very interesting. Some good racing. We probably had 8 people.
Yeah,
in the P1 position
with 7 minutes to go. 3 minutes into the 10-minute qualifying session. I mean, it was so fluid. I decided to put my pin down and just relax because you couldn't tell who was going to P1.
No, you weren't going to know.
I mean, it was all over the place. It was Nico Rosberg, Kimi Raikkonen, then Nico Rosberg, and then, I mean,
Heikki Kovalainen was up there once, then Lewis comes out and he gets up there, and then Felipe is up there.
Lewis Hamilton, we know, is very good at Monaco, having won GP2 there, and
I think he won
Formula 3.
Yeah. So he's got all experience. He likes his track. Last year's Monaco was the first time that he hadn't won the race that he was entered in Monaco, and there were some question marks on that one because there's some questions of team orders between him and Fernando. But, you know, I think it was more of a let's get both cars home issue more than anything else.
Exactly.
But, and, again, a very entertaining Q3 for a change. Bouncing back and forth, and lots of changes of P1.
But then at the last minute, the person who doesn't even like Monaco.
No.
Sort of a Ralph Schumacher answer.
Yeah, it was really interesting the way he put it. Drive your lap like an old lady to be safe.
Yeah.
Which I thought was an interesting way to put it. But I think what it is, what he means by that is that you really can't drive it out on way out on the edge like he likes to drive.
Exactly.
In Monaco, because you get that far out and you're just, you know, you can only get so close to Armco before it bites back.
And with 2 minutes left, it was Kimi Raikkonen, Robert Kubica, Lewis Hamilton, Felipe Massa, and Heike Kovalainen in the top five. But then with 1 minute left, Felipe Massa puts down just a terrific lap. It's a
phenomenal lap.
Mistake-free, and he takes pole with Kimi Raikkonen second. So we have a Ferrari front row, which was really the big surprise, but they have stepped it up towards McLaren in terms of competing at Monaco.
Yeah, and also I think you're seeing some strategy play into this too as far as, you know, how heavy the cars are and stuff. I don't think the McLarens were that worried about being out of the front row, because they knew that they could maybe get him on a start or stay close. So we end up with Felipe on pole, Kimi in P2, a second row of Lewis Hamilton on Heikki Kovalainen, followed by Robert Kubica and Nico Rosberg, Fernando Alonso, Yarno Trulli, Mark Webber, and David Coulthard, who had set no time. So good qualifying. Anything at Monaco is usually pretty fun, just because it is... The toughest part of the thing that drives me the craziest, I think, about Monaco is the fact that it's such a tight track, and so the passing opportunities are so slim once you get into a race situation.
And when there are passing opportunities,
such a fun track to watch somebody drive, though.
I love the stupid passing. Stupid passing is exciting.
We saw saw a bit of that today.
And real quickly, David Coulthard gets a 5-spot grid penalty because they have to change the gearbox on his crashed car.
He wasn't the only one taking a 5-spot penalty. I think Fisichella also took a 5-spot penalty for a gearbox change.
Fisichella did too, yes, of course. Also, real quickly,
this is Frank Williams' 600th Grand Prix this weekend.
And Fisichella's 200th Grand Prix. A pleasant shabash to him and his entire family. So there you go. We're ready for some racing. And Monaco, once again, on Sunday morning, has a few clouds.
And it's drizzling.
It's drizzling a little bit. And some of the parts of the track are dry, but the starting grid is wet.
Yeah, and even those dry portions aren't really, really dry. They're just not wet, kind of dry. Apparently, it's been raining off and on during the morning. And how is it going to stay for the next, you know, 2 hours here in Monaco? Ends up, as we get ready to start, it looks like everybody's going to start on intermediates, or wets, as some people call them.
Hamilton has a great start. The lights go out. Felipe Massa has a good start. Kimi Raikkonen, once again.
Let's take half a step back in the fact that Heike doesn't even get off the grid for the formation lap.
Poor Heike. And, you know, they never said what was the problem, but he stalled it.
It stalled for some reason, and by the time he couldn't restart it, so because they'd already taken the starters away. So he's kind of messed up. I was going to mention that it seems like some of the people that you see on the grid during the pre-race said Monaco, it's like, why are you there? You know, it's just there to be seen kind of people.
Don't forget that the film festival
in Cannes was
just down the road, and this is just something to do. It's just an added bonus to
and
their week.
Cannes was like a week ago, so a lot of people staying over for the race, and you know it's an event.
Yeah, so you do the personalities already in town, and you know, I mean, I like Quentin Tarantino's comment. Oh, this is my first time in Monaco.
Yeah,
so you know, they're not they're hipsters.
Yep, they got like racing, and it's Tarantino's second race. I guess he was at
Silverstone.
Yeah, Silverstone last year. But the lights go out, as you said. There's nobody in the P4 position at the start. Bang, off goes Massa. He gets away. Hamilton has a phenomenal start.
Well, Hamilton has a phenomenal start, but also to add to that is Kimi Raikkonen doesn't have a great start.
No, he has a pretty reasonably poor start comparatively because Lewis basically leaves him in the dust. We managed to get through the first corner without any drama for a change, which is highly unusual at Monaco because of how tight the track is. It's not going to finish the first lap that way. Looks like Nico managed to tap the back of Alonso through the hairpin. Hairpin turns into just kind of an interesting little love fest this weekend. And then apparently no harm done on that. But in lap two, Button pits.
Nico does damage his nose on that tap in the back of Fernando Alonso's car. But he misses the pits the first time around. It takes him a couple laps to get into this.
Get back.
Yeah, and Rubens Barrichello has a little moment with Nick Heidfeld. And then we notice that Fernando Alonso's rear light's not working. His little...
Yeah, his blinker wasn't even working on his way in on the formation lap. So I know that they've talked about this in the past, that... That's something that the FIA could come out and go,
they
bring it in and fix it, or you're done.
To be honest with you, I expected something, but it never showed up because there were so many other more important incidents.
Well, that and the fact that with the weather the way it was really dangerous for him to be out there with the blinker because at points in this race, you couldn't see the car in front of you without it.
Correct. The spray was pretty bad, and as the rain begins to come down, also by lap three, Adrian Sutil is having a surprisingly great race. He's up to 13th from 18th.
Yeah, he got a good start. He managed to squeeze past several people on the start, and so very interesting, very good start for Adrian.
Exactly. On lap four, Timo Glock spins it, and... It was a strange spin where he doesn't lose it, but he loses his front wing.
Hence the
wing race.
Yeah, managed to just clip the edge of the wing in his spin on the tire barrier. And, you know, it doesn't take much lateral load to get those suckers to pop off.
Exactly. And at this stage of the race, Felipe Massa puts in the fast lap of a 1:34.600. Lap five, Lewis Hamilton hits the Armco just enough to jar the tire loose.
Yeah, just manages to kiss off the tire off the rim.
And he gets the Tabak corner,
and
outside,
leaving
the swimming pool.
He gets very lucky in the fact that he manages to pit and not lose too much.
Exactly.
On that, having to make that pit.
Lap 7, Felipe Massa, Kimi Raikkonen, Robert Kubica, Fernando Alonso, Lewis Hamilton, Jarno Trulli, Nick Heidfeld, Mark Webber, Kaz Nakajima, and David Coulthard round off the top 10. Lap 8, DC decides he's had enough. He loses it. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Into the wall. And, of course, taking him out of the race completely. It was a big crash. And,
yep,
of course, Sebastian Bourdais could not see very much. He loses it very much in the same way.
Almost an identical way. And
plows right into the back of David Coulthard.
Taps the back of David Coulthard's car. And that brings out the safety car. Our first safety car of the day. This is definitely becomes a replace the nose race. I think everybody on the podium had to pit at least once for a mechanical issue,
exactly,
whether it be a nose or a tire.
During this DC Sebastian Bourdais crash, Fernando Alonso, actually, similarly to Lewis Hamilton's puncture, does the same thing to his rear, and he's got a pit, and he goes with full wets once he hits the pit stop.
And not really a bad idea, because it's really coming down now as far as the rain, and but they seem to buy him a little bit, but they don't seem to buy him an awful lot.
Exactly, and now the safety car comes out because they have to clean up this huge mess.
And I was amazed at how quickly they got those two cars off the
track.
Very
impressive people over there.
Yes, the way these guys, and they've got these cranes, you know, strategically positioned, and they actually picked these cars off with two separate cranes in that corner, which was really impressive.
It was very impressive. And Jenson Button pits while the safety car is out, and they announced that the FIA are investigating car number one, which is the Ferrari of Kimi Raikkonen. which was very interesting, and it took a few laps to finally find out what was going on. On lap 10, the safety car comes in, and apparently the Kimi Raikkonen penalty is for him not having his wheels on the car on the grid when the three-minute warning was given. They have rules and regulations by the FIA that at the three-minute mark, all the cars have to have their wheels on. They didn't. Mm. They missed it by a few seconds. And usually the FIA would not say anything because they're Ferrari, but since so many people were watching, they had to say something.
Yeah, they had to pony up the penalty. So he takes a drive-through. But, the commentary says that this ruins his day. The way this race is going, that's not going to ruin his day. Way too much going on. There's way too many ways to get back into this race. You know, considering how wet it is, we can be pretty sure there's going to be at least one more safety car. He just needs to stay in the hunt.
Exactly. Fernando Alonso and Mark Webber touch. They're having a little bit of scrap on lap 11. Lap 12, Nelson Piquet is in P10, and for a while there, the classified ads were removed.
Basically, they were put on hold.
Yes. They were covered up with a black bar. And at this stage, Fernando Alonso is really pushing Nick Heidfeld. He's obviously quicker than Nick. Nick, I don't know what's going on with his wheel.
Yeah, but he just can't get that one spot where he can get up close enough to get past him.
And Fernando Alonso is pushing hard. He passes Mark Webber with fairly ease, and then he's stuck behind Nick Heidfeld
for a couple of laps.
For a few laps, and I don't know what happened to Fernando there. Lap 13, Kimi Raikkonen takes his drive-through penalty. And then Fernando Alonso...
Yeah, here's how much it affected him. He rejoined in fourth.
Yeah, exactly. But Fernando Alonso has what I call a brain fart.
Yeah, was watching that and watched the replays, and I'm just going, what, do you think Nick was just going to let him go by?
I honestly did think that Fernando thought Nick was just going to let him go by. And also, I think that the engineers on Fernando's radio, which at this stage was not being broadcast, but I think they were going, vamonos,
amigos. Fernando,
you have to go now. Heidfeld is too slow. You need to get around him. So, I don't know. There was a brain fade there.
So, going into the hairpin, basically what happens is Alonso gets inside line on Nick Heidfeld, but he does not have enough
room.
And basically ends up spearing Heidfeld in the side. But amazingly, they both drive off. I think Fernando just busts up his wing a little bit.
Front wing, because Nick Heidfeld, to get out, runs over the front wing. Once again, another new nose comes off the shelf.
Exactly.
And what's really strange is Nico pits on lap 14 for another nose.
Yeah, and
I don't even know why he needs a nose on lap 14. You know, he lost must have
kissed something somewhere, or, you know, hit something. But I think that's already he's already on his third. So it's the guys, the engineers, the big. You got one more, dude.
Exactly.
That's it. Don't do it. You know, you got one more after this. So be careful.
Lap 15. Felipe Massa does lose focus. Runs off at the Saint Devote runoff. And then, of course, Robert Kubica grabs the opportunity and takes the lead. And at this stage, I thought Robert Kubica has a really good chance.
He did have a really strong chance at this point. He has basically gotten himself up to the front. He's in the lead. And now, you know, almost to a point where, okay, what's the strategy? Is the track going to stay wet enough, you know, to stay on these tires? How is that going to work? But, yeah, he's basically improved his chances of winning this race.
Lap 16, Nick Heidfeld is having some kind of problem, but I'm not sure what it is, but he's letting people by. They're not just passing him. And obviously, there's something wrong with the car. He's not comfortable. Lap 17, Kaz and PK are nipping it up, having a good time.
Yep, and Kubica pits. I mean, Heidfeld pits for a new nose.
Exactly, another nose. The nose industry is just, it's going bonkers right now.
Basically, loving the race.
Robert Kubica puts in the fastest lap on lap 18 with a 1:34.529. Then Felipe Massa goes with a fast lap of 1:34.002, a full half second faster. And then Nico Rosberg on lap 19 with a 1:33. 273, and he's in P17 putting down a fast lap.
That was one of those fun things. One of the fun things about this particular race is the number of people who put down fast
yes,
laps.
Yes, I think there was a record.
There were at least 10, I think.
I mean, when you 10. Have a Force of India putting down fast laps,
yeah, there's got to be. I know Heike had one, Nico had one.
Everybody had one.
It seemed like it was like, okay, your turn.
The pace car had one, I think. Thank you very much. Robert Kubica with a fast lap on 21. And then lap 22, the big surprise of the week, is Adrian Sutil is in P6 from P18. And the dry line is starting to show up on the track. No more rain, and it's really starting to show. Felipe Massa, fast lap on lap 23 with 1:32.163. And then the exchange of fast laps between Robert Kubica and Felipe Massa continues until lap 28. I mean, it goes on. Kimi Raikkonen, he's having an interesting day.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and the comment that the commentators made is that maybe he took a flyer and set his car up for a dry race in the hopes that something would happen, and basically it was
perhaps,
not a good choice.
But he damages his nose on lap 26 and has to pit on 27 with a new nose and takes on lots of fuel. 16-second stop, so it's a long one. The other thing is Robert Kubica pitted very, very fast pit stop.
Very quick.
And apparently BMW is so good on their pit stops that apparently Ferrari. Italian film crews are taping the BMW team and then giving the tapes to Ferrari to study. And I find that unbelievable because Ferrari is known for their great pit work.
Yeah, and you know, maybe they're just trying to learn, you know, see what they can maybe improve that, you know, that BMW is doing better than them. But I did find that kind of interesting that they actually commissioned the Italian television crews to videotape them on their pit stops and get the tapes from them.
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating. Lap 30, Jarno Trulli is holding up a whole slew of vehicles, but he's being told, go, go, go.
It's Jarno, not Jensen this time for a change.
Everything is fine. Lap 31, Lewis Hamilton with a fast lap with a 1:30.553. And as the track dries, obviously now we're going slowly into the 129s. And, of course, everybody's getting a fast lap this week. They call it this new concept in Formula 1, sharing.
Yeah.
Mark Webber, lap 32, with a fast lap with a 1:29.880. And on this pit... On this stop for Felipe Massa, 11-second stops, and he comes out in front of Robert Kubica. And this is Massa's only stop. Apparently, he was on a one-stop strategy.
Yeah, and the problem being is that he comes back out on the intermediates, and that is, you know, with the drying track, there's hope. And I think the FIA need to get a new weather forecaster.
Who is that guy?
Because this guy... blows it every time because they come in, oh, well, we're expecting more rain in 20 minutes.
And then
oh, we're expecting
minutes.
More rain in 6 minutes. It's like the rain never comes back.
There is no rain.
Yeah, and I love Peter Windsor was great. He comes back and goes, maybe they should, you know, have this backup graphic for this. Oops, sorry, we blew it.
Why don't they just skip it?
Yeah.
Don't even mention it. Because it screws up everybody. And most teams have their own meteorologist.
Yeah, most teams are not listening to the FIA's meteorologist.
No.
But even so, the problem being in a one-stop strategy in this kind of race is that you don't know where the track's going to be in a half hour or 15 laps from now, and it's going to come back and bite Felipe.
Exactly. Lap 33, Mark Webber, the fast lap with a 1:29.535. Lewis Hamilton answers back on the following lap with a 1:29.420. Heikki Kovalainen pits, 11-second stop, and he comes out in P15. So, you know, he's doing the best he can, but what can you say? I mean, you stall on the grid, you suffer.
You're going to be hurting because, especially in a track like Monaco where it is so hard to pass, getting back up the field is a nightmare.
Lap 36, Adrian Sutil, fast lap of the day, 1:29.292. The Shaboshes are just roaring across the planet. I mean, you could hear him just standing up, shabash, shabash, shabash.
And, you know, Adrian really needed a race like this after the first five.
Exactly.
He was...
We were talking... We fired him a couple of podcasts ago.
Yeah, exactly. 2 weeks ago, we basically were going, you better start looking over your shoulder because here comes Vitt'Antonio.
Yeah, exactly. But Vint'Antonio had to put his helmet back into the suitcase.
Exactly.
Because Adrian Sutil, on the following lap, another fast lap, a 1:29.043. But that didn't last for long. Lewis Hamilton now is the or track is drawing. He puts in a 1:28.691. Jarno Trulli pits on lap 38. Timo Glock spins, hits the tire barrier.
Just kind of bumps his rear wing. But doesn't seem to seriously damage the car.
No, he continues. He continues.
But Fisichella had just come out of the pits, and on the next lap, Fisichella retires from his 200th Grand Prix.
Yeah, but I didn't know why he retired.
You know, I don't...
There was no...
It didn't appear to be any damage. Something must have broke.
It could have been a gearbox, I suspect.
Could be. But that would be kind of interesting since it was a brand new gearbox.
Okay, lap 42, Rubens Barrichello. With a fast lap. 1:27.168. And I'm not talking the four-legged one. This is the two-legged one.
Yeah, that's pretty good to see Rubinho's throwing out a fast lap. What's this world coming to?
And he puts in another one on lap 43. Rubinho again, 1:26.978. Then Mark Webber comes in and steals it with a 0.921 on lap 44. Fernando Alonso is talking to his radio people, talking to engineers, and they go, should we go with dry tires?
Yeah, this is very interesting.
It is very interesting. And Fernando, you know, he goes, it's very risky. But in the end, he's got nothing to lose.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, what Fernando comes back to them is it offline, it's still really wet.
It is very wet. And you can tell.
That's the risk about going to dry tires at this point, is that if you get a little bit offline, you're toast.
Yeah, exactly. And but they do give it to him.
He pits, and he goes on to the soft drives.
Exactly. On lap 46, Lewis Hamilton, fast lap with a 1:26.546. On lap 47, Nico.
Well, actually, they're the hard tires, because they're using the soft and the super soft.
That, Boudreaux. Nico passes Nelson Piquet, call me Junior only when I'm in a good mood. And then Nelson Piquet has to pit, and of course, they don't ask him anything.
No, they never.
Because Fernando goes with dries, Piquet goes with dries. Yeah. That's settled.
And Fernando on his first lap.
Oh, my God.
Man.
I thought it was a big mistake.
Maybe a little bit soon. Reminded me of a race, I think it was China, last year, or maybe the year before, where it was drying out, and Scott Speed went on to wets.
I remember
it. It was back in two laps later.
Yeah.
For intermediates, because he couldn't keep it on the track.
Exactly. So I thought it was insane. But then on the other hand, it makes sense. You have nothing to lose. And to be honest with you, all of a sudden, Fernando on the drives became the barometer for all the other teams to make a decision.
Yeah. And basically, he convinces, 80% of the field to change over to the dry tires eventually on their next stops.
Lap 48, Nico Rosberg, fast lap with a 1:25.744. Nico is having a good race. He's got his papa sitting there who had won this race exactly 25 years ago
exactly.
For Williams.
From the same row that his son started.
Exactly.
On.
They seem to do that. I don't know. I think the FIA sets it all up. We don't have control over that. Mark Webber pits on lap 48 and goes with the dry. Nelson Piquet on the dries decides that I am not machismo.
No, I'm going to get offline and I'm into the barrier. It's end of it.
Dude, it was predictable.
Yeah, you could almost feel it coming. It's almost a situation where, let me see, we've got a two-time world champion, we've got a rookie. Yeah, let's throw him to the wolves.
Anyway, Nelson Piquet couldn't handle the sudden change to dry tires and, of course, crashes out and the classified ads are put back up.
Once more posted.
The web. Nico Rosberg with a fast lap with a 1:25.255, lap 50. Jenson Button and Timo Glock pit. Heikki Kovalainen pits from P11. And Adrian Sutil, we're on lap 50, has still not stopped for anything.
Wow.
He's being super machismo and having a pretty clean race. Lap 51.
You know, actually, the amazing thing about that is that his tires are still viable.
Exactly.
At 50 laps.
And everybody's going with dry tires. Rubens Barrichello passes Mark Webber on 51. On lap 52, Robert Kubica all over the back of Felipe Massa. And this is the clue that tells everybody it's time for dry tires. Lap 52, Fernando Alonso, fast lap with a 1:24.767. Yep. So that's it. He's passed the test. So Robert Kubica pits, goes with them dries. Adrian Sutil, Kimi Raikkonen, Kaz, all pit. Lewis Hamilton pits. He goes with the dries on lap 53.
And the thing about this is that Lewis has a half second.
He keeps the
lead. He's like a 30-second lead at the point.
I was totally blown away.
And was able to keep it. I don't remember if they put any gas in his car or not.
No fuel.
Yeah, just tires.
Just tires. And it was outstanding.
So lap 54.
Lap 54. Heikki Kovalainen decides to hit Jenson Button in the back. No damage. It was just, you know, he wanted to keep the nose thing going.
Yeah, we got to get another nose going here. On lap 54, Sutil manages to get past Raikkonen as he is rejoining. So, very interesting. Now we got Adrian Sutil now in front of Kimi Raikkonen on the same lap. Normally you would see Kimi Raikkonen behind Adrian Sutil and he'd be about ready to lap him. But that is not the case.
Exactly. And you know what? I think Lewis Hamilton did take on fuel. And I was getting confused because it was Felipe Massa who started the race quite heavy, got pole. And on his final stop, it was just to change tires, not to refuel.
And
he had already pitted for fuel. And on 56, Felipe Massa goes with the dry tires because everybody else was.
And it cost him.
It did cost him. It cost him the win. I think, in their bad strategy.
Yeah, well, at the very least, it cost him a place. If he hadn't had to stop, he would have finished the race ahead of Robert Kubica, but not the case.
Exactly. Lap 57, Nick Heidfeld pits, and Heikki Kovalainen puts in the fast lap with a 1:22.648. Kimi Raikkonen pits on 58, and another fast lap from Heikki Kovalainen in the next two laps. He brings it down to a 1:20.801. And, of course, here comes another big change in the race because Nico Rosberg loses it big time.
Yeah.
And it's a huge crash.
Huge shards all over the track.
Front end is completely shot.
Yeah, the whole car pretty much destroyed.
Safety car.
Safety car comes out. Nick Heidfeld, just talk about a rough day. He's the first guy through the debris field. And he must have picked up half of it because he was in the pits on the next lap to get new tires.
Exactly. Safety car continues to stay out. On 64, they allow the lapped cars to go around the safety car and get back to the back of the line.
Yeah.
And it was sort of confusing because Nick Heidfeld, who had pitted and come back, was him and Heikki Kovalainen didn't pass a safety car. And I was going, you know, maybe their teams didn't tell them what to do.
Yeah, it might have also been a situation where, too, where they were unsure. And maybe they're, especially on this track, there are only really a couple of good places to actually do that. And one of them's down the start-finish straight where a lot of people were doing it.
And then all of a sudden the question of the two-hour limit for the race starts coming in to play. And instead of laps, we see the clock.
Well, actually, that doesn't come up for a couple of more laps, but yeah, eventually we get to a clock instead of laps.
It comes back right after the safety car on lap 66. And which doesn't happen very often.
No, and it's almost always a wet race.
Well, it happens. And this race did seem to linger, and we do not go the full 78 lap distance.
No.
But of course, Lewis Hamilton, having pitted and coming out in front of Kubica and Felipe Massa, he's got this race in the bag. He just has to keep it on the road.
He's got to keep it on the track and make sure that he gets a clean restart to keep away from the two guys behind him. And he does a really good job of basically stacking him up and leaving him behind.
He does a good job in the restarts. And, you know, kudos to Lewis Hamilton. He's developing into a real talent. But some people who have talent, I don't know. You know, people are blaming the car. He lost it. Blah, blah, blah. Now, I want to tell everybody right now, Adrian Sutil is in P4. His heart is pounding.
Oh, he's just got to be
phenomenal. He sees bonuses, points. Malia is already writing zeros on the bonus check.
Well, he's already spending his TV money.
He's already spending it. And Kimi Raikkonen, and he's sandwiched between the two Ferraris. They get on the radio, they tell Adrian, okay, you got Felipe Massa in front, and you got Kimi Raikkonen in the back. Those are the two cars you're racing. He's in a Force India.
Yeah.
Well, he can't even believe this.
Exactly.
He keeps thinking this is PS3.
Yeah. Good point.
But, of course, the gods.
No.
All those gods, you know, especially sitting up in the mountains watching this race, said forget it.
No.
Adrian Sutil shabosh this, shabosh that. You're not getting nothing.
And so coming out of the tunnel, Raikkonen hits the divot, apparently, that David Coulthard got into at the end of Q2 yesterday. Does a phenomenal job to keep the car on the track.
I agree, but obviously he's going left, going right. Obviously, no control.
No, and he's not getting any braking power onto the car either. And bam.
Smashes right into the back of Adrian Sutil. Now, most of the time, the person that gets rear-ended somehow survive, and it's the rear-ender that gets taken out. But they both pit right after that happens.
Exactly.
As you see Adrian's head slump forward.
Well, Raikkonen gets a new nose.
They've had so much practice with noses.
Exactly. Bam, he's out.
He's out back on the track.
But the Force India mechanics, take a look at the back of Adrian's car, and you can just see this kind of a ripple effect of the deflation of the team.
It was brutal.
When they basically pulled him off because...
It was brutal.
Must have been broken suspension components.
I'm telling you, it was Hakkinen and 99 in the bushes. I felt so bad for Adrian Sutil to finally perform well, to have a great race, maybe due to some attrition, but still doing a great job.
But in a good spot to you know, he'd be happy if he were in eighth, but to be in fourth, this happen.
To be honest with you, I believe that eventually, I'm sure Kimi Raikkonen will come and talk to Adrian and sing him a little song or something.
Yeah. Because that, bottle
well,
of fizz idea.
He couldn't control the car, and Adrian will see the replay, and because they replayed it a number of times.
Yeah, exactly.
It was still dramatic, and if it helps, you know, a couple of shiboshes to you, Adrian, for having a terrific, terrific race. And of course, nothing changes. Kimi Raikkonen did have an oddball race. So did Fernando, even though Fernando does finish the race. World champions getting caught up into some weird circumstances. Kimi Raikkonen at the end puts in the fastest lap, and lap 74 turns out to be the last lap with a 1:16.689. So even after all the crashing, the devastation, Raikkonen's car is still in tip-top form where he can put in a 1:16.689. Yeah. Which was an outstanding race. And, of course, Lewis Hamilton, the winner, the first British driver, first Englishman, I should say, to win at Monaco since the late, great Graham Hill, who has also won, of course, the Indy 500.
And I believe they said that he'd won that in 69.
69, one of my favorites. There you have it. Robert Kubica in second, another strong drive for him, as Nick Heidfeld languages somewhere in the back. And, of course, Felipe Massa in third. But he stays pretty chipper about the whole thing. Mark Webber, Sebastian Vettel. We haven't mentioned him, and he's doing an outstanding job. Apparently, the dependability of the new Toro Rosso 4 or 3 or...
Yeah, basically what they're running is they're running the RBR chassis that started the season with Red Bull, that Red Bull is no longer driving, so they get their hand-me-downs. But this is the first race in their new, I guess it's the STR 4 or 3B or who knows.
-765 OSS 117.
Exactly. I didn't get the memo. It's a T13. So Sebastian has a great race in the new chassis, unlike his poor teammate who manages to run into the back of David Coulthard. We get Mark Webber with an excellent race, finishing fourth. Rubens Barrichello, first points since 2006 in sixth. Kaz Nakajima finishes seventh. And Heike, after starting from pit lane, basically, manages to get himself up to eighth, with Kimi Raikkonen ninth, Alonso 10th, Button in 11th, Glock in 12th, Trulli in 13th, and Nick Heidfeld in 14th, failing to classify are Sutil, Rosberg, Piquet, Fisichella, Coulthard, and Porte.
So there you have it.
And Kimi Raikkonen actually ends the race with the fastest lap with a 1:16.689, basically on the last lap.
Correct. So there you have it. An exciting, incident-filled race. And once that rain started, we knew it was going to be pretty hilarious.
Yeah, the things were going to get interesting. Always like to see the wet races just because it really kind of throws a spanner in the works and you don't really know how things are going to turn out. You usually end up with guys who don't finish in the points for whatever reason, whether they picked a good strategy or they changed tires at the right moment, getting them up into the points.
Three big surprises for me was Felipe Massa's skill in the wet, much improved.
Yeah, significantly better than I've seen him race in wet weather ever. He basically stayed with the pace. He basically was able to stay with the top three drivers, especially against two guys who are renowned as good wet drivers, them being Kubica and Hamilton.
Second surprise, Adrian Sutil doing a fantastic job. Unfortunately, in the end, he couldn't finish the race because of the accident between him and Kimi Raikkonen. But still, moving up to P4, I thought was an outstanding race.
Outstanding race, considering he started second to last. You know, it's like that's a phenomenally good afternoon for him. You know, he's got to take it away as a positive and use it to build on down the line. Hopefully, you know, Force India can get him that kind of car for, say, Canada, where he can make those kind of moves.
And of course, the third big surprise for me was the mistakes that Fernando Alonso trying to pass Nicky Heidfeld. I thought that was a mistake because he would have finished with a better grid position. And also hitting the Armco and getting a puncture in his tire was a second mistake. But also, on the other hand, Fernando Alonso, I know his mindset is, I can take chances because I'm not fighting for the world championship.
Yeah, if I'm going to get points, if I'm going to look good, I've got to take that little extra risk to get that little bit more out of this car.
Exactly. So that means hitting Germans and hitting the Armcos occasionally. So there you have it. So stay tuned for Canada. Should be exciting. The only North American tour they've decided to skip. The nation of KFC and McDonald's. And that's our loss, but, you know, keep up the good work, Canada. They've made some safety improvements because of the Kubica incident last year.
Yes, it should be very interesting to see this race. This is usually a fun track to watch, one of the faster tracks on the schedule.
Absolutely, it's going to be exciting, but we know that Lewis Hamilton does very, very well there. His first time at Montreal at the Circuit de Gilles Villeneuve, he wins the race. So
that was his first win, was it not? That was his first win.
That was his first time at that track.
And it was his first win.
Yeah, well, Scooby-Doo on that. So there you have it. Let's hope that Renault can pick up the pace. Let's hope that Nelson Piquet will pick up the pace or get fired, because I can't take that anymore. And, of course, Nico Rosberg had a good race today. So did Sebastian Vettel. And
be interesting to see how well the STRs do up there with their new car, since they'll both be in their new cars at the next race.
Absolutely. So hopefully we'll have some F1 Weekly fans at Canada that could maybe email in a few positive notes about the weekend, and make sure they wear their F1Weekly.com t-shirts and take photos. So there you have it. Steve, any more points?
No.
Any more answers?
I've got lots of answers, but I don't know what the question is.
I'll tell you right now. Stay tuned for the Bob Newhart Show. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.